This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chappelle Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chappelle Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful day afternoon. I hope you are well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Oh, my goodness. Interesting things to talk about today. All political things to talk about today. So, did you watch the debate last night? Did you watch the U.S. Presidential debate last night between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris? Did you watch it? Anybody? I imagine lots of Bahamians watched it. I've been in chat groups where many commentaries are being made about it. I watched it. One thing is clear. Neither of the candidates were interested in answering the questions that were put to them by the moderators. I mean, they just blew past those questions. The very first question that was asked was put to Vice President Kamala Harris about whether Americans were better off than before they came to office. And she launched into a statement about what she was about, what she sought, is seeking to do, what her plans are, etc. And you could tell she was a little nervous at the beginning while she was talking. That was clear. But she didn't answer that question at all. Now, whether that was strategic or not, I don't know. I hear people say it was. I don't know. But she didn't answer the question. And then when it came, the moderators never checked her on not answering the question. And they went over to Donald Trump, and he blew past the question too. I thought it was actually a opportune time for him to simply say, see, she didn't answer the question, but let me tell you, they're not better off. And here's the reason why. Bam, 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 bam. I also thought she missed too, to the extent that she could have said, this is better, that's better. But, lots of Americans still feel like that things are too expensive and it's too difficult to get housing and so forth. But they never did. And question after question, they basically just decided, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And, you know, your question is not really the point here. So there's something to that at times. There's something to that at times. But it was just, it was so stark, right? Now, as to who was more cogent, who was more articulate, who was more rational, who was more policy aware, there is no question that Kamala Harris was 1,000 times more so than was Donald Trump. When it was came to whose decorum, whose demeanor was more settled, calm, as some people like to say, presidential. No question again, Kamala Harris's demeanor was better on all fronts. In my view, don't get vexed with me if you're a Trump supporter. I'm just saying, giving you my view. You're free to call, text, and give me your view. But that was clear to me. And it was clear to me that when it came to who got under whose skin, she did that job very well. She had some of the most brilliant lines I've seen hurled at any opponent in a debate, most especially at Donald Trump in a debate, because Donald Trump has been the man who used to offset everybody. He used to unsettle everybody. He used to say some of the wildest things. And at the time when he first started doing it, that was novel because nobody was like this. You never hear candidates talk like this. And people would be like, I mean, if the people didn't like him, who didn't like him, didn't like him. But the people who loved him, loved it. Oh my gosh. Listen, never let a woman know what gets under your skin. Especially don't let no black woman know what gets under your skin. Because when she come at you, especially as a man, you can get doing. She knew all the things that would just would bait him and get him to go absolutely. Brother, do you know 81 million people fired you? 81. You didn't lose the election? No, 81 million people fired you. Say, brother, now tell me if I lie. This don't sound bad. Listen, the people who work with you tell me you is a disgrace. A disgrace. So, guess what? People come to your meeting, to your rallies, and the rally is so boring, believe. Listen to me. I did not think that she walked away having made like this, like, you know, how Barack Obama had that moment when he gave his speech and people went like, wow. I think that happened per se. If you looked at her delivery, her debate in its absolute single context, but matched with him, oh man, she knocked that ball out the park. I was concerned for, because again, if I looked at the debate in terms of just the absolute answering of the questions and what have you, I think they were both disappointing in that regard. Even though, again, you know, that might have been a strategy. I just don't think you ignore answering questions, right? And they both did it. But in terms of showing him, listen, bro, you ain't coming here to do no little Marco on me. You ain't coming here to get me to become one of your acolytes like you did your boy from Texas. You're not going to meet this me, Kamala Harris. And the whole much of the night, he could not fix himself to look at that lady. Woman walked straight up to the man and hand a hand out and said, listen, shake my hand. I am Kamala Harris. Let me tell you something. Do not let a black woman know what gets under your skin. Ladies, am I telling any lies or not? Oh, man. It was something. And, you know, to be honest with you, her debate and her lines were more impressive when you saw them not in the real time, but after they are shown in the light of all else after the fact. She was much more impressive. you are a disgrace. And I mean, Donald Trump, they listen, you know, I don't know if y'all ever had it happen to you, but it happened to me before. Something happened to me, and like the moment was so stunning for me, I got giddy. Like, I mean, literally, I mean, I was giddy. Like, you know, when you can't locate yourself for the moment. That's how he seemed afterwards. This brother going in the spin room, trying to find reporters to spin too. The great Trump. He got spun last night. Yeah, and by a novice debater, because she ain't never debated in the presidential debate before. He did it 7 times. And he used to just run circles round, not because he was brilliant, not because he was articulate, not because he was a policy wonk or anything like that, but he just manhandled people. Boy, he manhandled that Caribbean heritage, Indian heritage soul last night. No, boy. Someone sent me a meme, say, meanwhile, it's Springfield, Ohio, and what he named now? Alf is as a cat between two sub-brands. Referring to Donald Trump, telling people, listen, don't Donald Trump turn into one of y'all now, Bahamians who just do this. Or they got the Haitians in Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, eating the people cat and dog. And talking one bunch of nonsense. Right? Nonsense. Kamala Harris said a this fair fella. Oh, man. It says, great show as usual. Trump and Harris learning from how us Bahamians do politics. Say, great show as usual. You can't win an argument with a woman. All right. Ah, boy. Say, yeah, just dig at Trump's ego. It's all about him and numbers, and she knows him. She knows this. Tell him about that small crowd. Texas, you know, notwithstanding that debate, that man has a lot of, still half Americans, might could even be more, still leaning Trump. So, I mean, I enjoyed the debate, but, you know, there may be some evidence, some anecdotal evidence for now that some people have been swayed by the debate, most for Harris, some people for Trump. The afternoon I watched the debate, even after considering the valid points you talked about, I would still call it a draw. I might add, I am not a fan of either of them. That would explain why maybe it's a draw. Okay, but I mean, you saw it as a draw. I couldn't in good conscience say it was a draw. I could not in good conscience. If I'm a person ignoring personality, ignoring whether I like or don't like somebody, if I'm listening to someone articulate, because elections are about the future, what are you going to do for a country? See, the past you could reflect on and comment on, et cetera, even use to try and characterize somebody's ability, that's fine. But it's about the future. And so at some point, you have to lay out what your plans are. Donald Trump said, well, we have concepts of a plan. For 9 years, we have concepts of a plan. you know, Kamala Harris said, well, I whether you agree to or not, I'm going to give $25,000 here, $1,000 there, $50,000 here. We're going to do this. And it was no competition for me. Not on that front. I'm sorry. I can't. I got intelligence and logic for myself, reasoning for myself to suggest that it was a draw. Ms. Texas, I agree, Mr. Trump missed a golden opportunity on the first question posed to Mrs. Harris. I'm of the opinion, however, that it has been the style of politicians, local, no exception, to avoid answering questions directly. She did generally well compared to Mr. Trump, who was completely off the mark. Imagine he said on a national stage that persons are targeting pets to eat or that the Democrats are going to perform transgender operations on illegal immigrants. Imagine he said, when asked that he was not responsible for the security of the Capitol on January 6th. Right? So this text says, I think that she intentionally skirted around the questions in order to tell the American people who are still saying that they don't know enough about her, who she is and what she was all about, and that what she would do futuristically, her plans. Yeah, I hear that argument. That doesn't sell for me, though. You should answer questions. Politicians, see, when you are in public life, one great courage you must demonstrate is to answer questions. Okay, even if you are wanting to say to people, you know, I don't have an answer for that at the moment, but it can't be that you are asked a question, are people better off today than they were when you took office? And you don't answer that question because you want people to get to know you? But that's not the point. You went to the people's debate and they asked you a question. You know, you should answer the question. And she could have said, well, if you look at the economy, where our growth is now compared to when we came to office, if you look at the unemployment where it is compared to when we came in office, if you look at the stock market where it is compared to where we came to office, a string of metrics she could have rung off and said, now that notwithstanding that they're all better off, too many Americans continue to struggle to afford a living, and that has to change. That means there's much more work to do, and that's why Kamala Harris is here. She could have said that. You don't have to duck and dodge questions. I don't think it comes across well. And like I said, it didn't matter much for her because her opponent didn't do this. He did the same thing. He didn't answer no question either. What was his excuse? He wanted America to get to know him. No, you had a lot. She had lots of opportunity for people to get to know her, to lay out her plans, etc. I can't believe that you don't answer questions because you were trying to get people to know you. As Texas Bahamians is pull files, though. Time as they bring up your entire history, but think some of our local politicians can take any notes to improve their skills and political appeal? I don't know, you know, because, you know, the public of the Bahamas is like any public sometimes, you know, you're fickle. It depends, you know, on what's going on generally, what's going on in your particular life, etc. I think that if you are a political figure, your most essential duty, your most essential duty personally, is to be your authentic self. That's you need to find out who you are. Because if you find out, you know, I really don't care about these people. And if you find that out, I compel you to do the things necessary to find that caring. Okay? If you know something, you know it. If you don't know something, you don't know it. If you don't know something, it might compel you to get to know something. But to pretend like you are what you are not all day long because you want this one to like you, now one to like you, you play that game on planet Earth and you will mess yourself right up as a human being. Right up. You cannot run no popularity competition trying to be liked by everybody. You know when people like you? I think when you are in public life, when you focus on doing the things that make their lives, not personal lives, not personal lives, make their collective lives better. And if that doesn't, if that's not enough for them, well, what can you do, bro, sister? What can you do? Just don't go around lying to these people. Don't go around faking and flaming these people. Don't go around trying to pretend to be something with these people you are not. And be respectful with folk. Focus on their task. Don't let nobody run over you. Don't let nobody talk to you bad and take advantage of you. Don't let nobody do that. Make sure they know that you regard their dignity, and make sure they know you have dignity as a human being too. That's how we should do it, as equals in a society. I know what it means to serve you doesn't mean to be subservient to you at all. Just so you all know. Doesn't mean my money is your money and you could come to me and ask me to bail your children out and pay for your funerals and do that kind of stuff. If you need help and you seek help, you can ask for it. But don't come to me like, but I paying you, so therefore, I'll never let that kind of foolishness prevail, because it doesn't bode well for a society. We need to grow up and show up and be decent, dignified human beings, no matter our lot in life. So luckily, he did not say, that's my portfolio. But they got all kind of memes going around with Kamala boxing my boy and he on the ground. So awesome, and that's how ladies are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our first, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back. You're listening to Z Live. We'll be back after this break. This road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been can't down. Complain.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including VAT, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what do you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the just before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. Glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good day, but she is there now and nothing, doing nothing. Why wait till your president? Okay, so I really hope I don't offend you by saying what I'm going to say, but Donald Trump also made the same traits that you either, that this demonstrates that you do not understand how government works. You don't understand how politics works. There's a reason why she is the vice president and there is a president. There's a reason why it's called Joe Biden's administration. So it is absolutely ignorance to say to someone, because you are vice president, you can make happen all the things that you want to make happen. That is nonsense. Joe Biden sets the agenda. Joe Biden determines what's the priorities. Joe Biden determines that. There's a reason why vice presidents over the course of American history have seldom been even remembered. There's a reason why they talk about Dick Cheney as being one of the most powerful vice presidents ever, because he's unique in that regard, because the role of the vice president in many, many instances is to be seen and not heard, to be there to support the president in the agenda of the president. It is absolute nonsense to talk about why she's there now, why shouldn't she do it? She supports the president. So his agenda, there, what he is seeking to do, she supports. She could have had her own ideas. She could have even given him some of her ideas. He can take them or he could not take them. That's like saying, Chivago, you served in Ingram's cabinet. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, it's Ingram's cabinet. You know, it's Ingram's cabinet. And yes, I had ideas too. Some were taken, some were not. So don't give me that nonsense. That's like, and while you're at it, Brad Davis, therefore, should not be able, Prime Minister Brad Davis, should not be able to talk about anything when he was Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas. Whatever he needed and wanted to do for Cat Island, for Rum Key, for any place he wanted to do something for, he should have been able to do. Why? Because he was there. And this nonsense, she's doing nothing. How do you know what she doing? You live here in the Bahamas. How do you know what she did, what she's doing? What's her job, actually? What is her job? What is the job of the vice president? Is to be vice president and to do whatever the president assigns to her. That's the job. And so please understand and learn these systems. Okay? She can't go in there, president, I can do whatever I do. I'll do this. No, that's nonsense. She is doing her job. What is the job? To be vice president. If something happens to the president, she is to become the president, to act as president. That's the job. Same thing with y'all putting all these things on members of parliament that they're supposed to be on members of parliament. Why? Learn your own system. This text says, yes, Chivago, she set the trap and Donald took the bait, especially when she spoke about his crowd size. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Do you think that the PM's statement regarding his views on campaign finance reform will further contribute to average Bahamians' distrust of our governments? We can talk about that in a little while. That's one of the things we can talk about in a little while. Says Lang, why won't one of the Valley Boys and Valley Boys and pay me for the name? After all, one is rushing for fun. I know that's, you need to fix that because it's a little unclear for me. Says the Bahamian Trump supporters had Harris for light. They say all she could do is laugh. Who knew that laughter would take Trump out of out at the knees. Don't sleep on Harris. She's an intelligent woman, of course. You don't become an attorney general of California, prosecuting big time this and that and the next thing. Become vice president of the United States of America. I can't say it. Again, let me not say that because, yeah. She's intelligent. Let's put it like that. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It will be good if the Republicans lose this election. They can get rid of Trump and take their party back. I think that's what some Republicans are hoping happens. Ms. Kamala Harris was foolishly running on with future plans like she wasn't in government and can't make changes to the terrible present situation. She was a loser last night. You see, it's another somebody who don't understand how government works. You're talking nonsense. You must be a Trump lover who was a little upset last night about what happened. She was foolishly talking about future plans. Yeah, she's talking about future plans in a Harris administration, not a Biden one. A Harris administration. And you demonstrate that you do not understand how you are supposed to do all. That's like saying Mike Pence should have been able to do all the things he wanted to do when he was vice president of the United States under Donald Trump. You think that was possible? Come on, man. You all wake up and learn some things. Say good day, Brother Lang. Donald Trump got whooped with his clothes on last night. He was fully dressed in a suit, but Lady Harris was truly a winner. Now the music is being played. Well, for comprehension for the voter, excellent for the Bahamas, USA, elect President Kamala Harris in 2024. Okay. Says also, what are your thoughts on Bahamians demanding that cabinet prospects, government board prospects, commissioner of police prospects, governor generals, judges, and all public officials that are part of government be required to publicly express their plans for nation building in a debate forum as a part of the election process so that the power of the majority nation's desires are truly represented? And a debate would do that? A debate would help the majority sentiments to be represented? I thought the debate is to help people say what their thoughts are versus somebody else. I didn't know it was to get the majority thoughts. Because if you want the majority thoughts, what you do is survey the public and then say to the people who are seeking to run, you need to adopt the views of the majority, but a debate will not do that. Ms. Texas, hi, Mr. Lang. I watched a little piece of the debate. Ms. Harris, all she was doing, making face and silly grin for Mr. Trump. Her answers was not that good, but Trump was very serious and professional and didn't shut up. First of all, bro, don't embarrass yourself by saying, I only watch a piece of the debate, and then you can say, but what she did? When the rest of us watched the whole debate and saw what she did, listened to what she said, you watch a piece of the debate, you just disqualified yourself from making any intelligent commentary on the debate. You watch a little piece of debate, and you saw Donald Trump, you saw seriousness, or you saw his red, flushed face, angry and frustrated. But was that what you saw? Because that's what I saw while I watched the entire debate. And I saw who was professional, who had a great demeanor, and who was at ease with herself, and who, by the way, was also smiling, because that's what you need to do when you're a politician. You need to be pleasant too, right? So I saw that. So stop trying to demean this intelligent woman talking nonsense after you only said you watch a piece of the debate. Go watch the rest of it and then come back and talk to us, those of us who watched it. And so that's your Trump or nothing. Go take that and smoke that in the pipe. Fucking nonsense. Say, if the systems that are in place are failing, should we really burden ourselves with understanding them or vigorously do our part to change them? Well, first of all, you need to determine whether they are failing. Just because you say so or think so doesn't mean so. Okay, because I happen to think that some of you who make this commentary have no idea what failing means. You don't, if failing slap you in the face, you wouldn't be able to recognize it, because you clearly don't understand what a failing nation and a failing system might be. Okay? So if you establish that the system is failing, you have to tell us how. Failing on what grounds? Because what? Because you're frustrated? Because you're pissed off? That's why it's failing? Come on, man. Please. And how do you fix something you don't understand? You know? So you say, if a system is failing, why burden yourself to understand it? But I pray God, no doctor, no lawyer, or no engineer takes your approach to life. Because that's the whole basis of diagnosis. You are understanding what is going wrong with the system. So that maybe instead of wasting resources, you can fix that system instead of busting your brain to try and come up with a new one when it is unnecessary. And there you are before. When you're speaking, understand that some of us around here spend a little bit of time thinking through the life that we live, thinking through it. We're not just shooting off our mouths for shooting off our mouths' sake. Okay? This text is Mr. Langdon, the Vice President, Harris debate. She's responding and say, when we were handed the White House, isn't she claiming ownership? Yes, yeah, she's claiming ownership, but that does not negate the fact that she is still in a person's administration. I was in Ingram's administration. So whatever we did, we did. Whatever we didn't do, we didn't do. But it was Ingram's administration. He set the agenda. He set policy. It was his administration. He was the only one who could say my government. Okay? And so that means something in the scheme of president. If you get to be co-owner, why are you called vice president instead of called co-president? You're vice president. So don't try that. Say, moreover, I believe Vice President Harris won the debate. You and a number of people believe it. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Hey guys, this Friday, September 13th, Dunkin' is celebrating you on Customer Appreciation Day. On this special day, we're honoring our beloved founder, George Myers, in the sweetest way possible. All day, with every drink purchase, you'll get 5 free munchkins, George's favorite treat. Thank you for being part of the Dunkin' family. So, mark your calendar for Friday, September 13th. Swing by Dunkin' and grab your favorite drink and enjoy 5 free munchkins on us because we appreciate you.
Offer valid only on Friday, September 13th. Thank you for choosing Dunkin'.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 424-7796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Tech says, good day, Shivago. Great topic. As an intelligent Black woman myself, I was truly impressed with Vice President Harris, and I felt she represented herself well and did us proud. I thought much of the debate was a back and forth trying to refute so many of the negligent misstatements Trump made. I thought she tapped him up well when she reminded Trump she wasn't debating, that he wasn't debating Biden, but her, Harris. Laugh out loud. Says that text. This text says, as brilliant as I believe Mrs. Harris to be, I believe I saw a hint of nerves on the first questions, and that's understandable being her first time in such a setting. By the way, in our own politics, Mr. Davis just alluded to the fact that even though he's been MP for Cat Island, he said his position over that period did not afford him the opportunity to do much. And we can talk about that too in the second hour. This text says, look at it military-wise. Assistant superintendent cannot do what a superintendent can do. That will be a long day for that assistant. Absolutely. I mean, anybody trying to equivocate the position of president versus vice president, prime minister versus deputy prime minister, you might as well know I'm no prime minister and no president. Why are you of the distinction? Huh? Who appoints who? Boy, this Junkanoo debacle takes me back to when people used to say they rob us. They called the minister and he changed the scores. Laugh out loud. Government in the Valley Boys issue. I ain't gonna lie to you all. I haven't paid attention to it, so I really don't know what's going on with that. I have to tell you, I will catch up on it, but I wasn't paying attention to it. I'm sorry. So when we come back from the break, Prime Minister Davis has said a number of things lately that I believe might be interesting to discuss. One of the things is he said that, he was in opposition and therefore could not do much for Cat Island. Very interesting statement by him. And then he said that campaign finance reform was not a priority for him. In fact, he doesn't know where this issue of campaign finance reform come from. So I'm gonna ask you to think about a couple of things. The Guardian is carrying a story regarding the opposition leader's query about the Saudi loan. He was asking for terms of the loan and whether it was the proceeds was going into the consolidated fund. And as the Guardian pointed out, he voted and others voted for this particular loan. So we talk about that in the second hour. But it's interesting that the PM indicated, when asked about his work in Cat Island, water situation in particular, and the like, projects that needed to be done, he said that, he was in opposition and, that he couldn't do much then. He noted that they started something when he was in government and it wasn't finished, and then it was stopped when they lost office, that while in opposition, he couldn't do anything. And I think that's very interesting, actually, because if that is all the case, he has just provided every single member of parliament a template for how to answer the question for me. Because if you are an opposition, according to the prime minister, you can't do anything. So why are people looking to their opposition members of parliament to get their roads fixed, to get their water fixed, to get their light fixed, to get anything fixed that is needing to be fixed? Because according to the prime minister, it is impossible to do these things when you are in opposition. That's very interesting. Is the prime minister right or not? It's the question. Is the prime minister correct about that? Is it when you're in opposition, you can't do anything. So why do Bahamians have expectations of their member of parliament about these things? If the prime minister is correct. When we come back from the break, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, because maybe you need an adjustment in your thinking about what your member of parliament can or cannot do when they are in opposition. In the Z Live, I'm Shiva Lang, your host. We're going to be back right after the news break. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So Prime Minister, in answering questions about things he didn't get done or got done in Cat Island, his constituency, indicated as part of his response, well, you know, I was in opposition, so I couldn't get things done. But, you know, when I was in government, we started a project, and when we lost office, that project ended. That's all of this is very telling. So let's look at it. You get elected a member of parliament. You're on the government side. You're on the opposition side. What is it that you can do? Not requiring anything from anyone else. What is it that you as a member of parliament can do for your constituents and not require any minister, any government, anybody to do? What can you do? You can do the one thing you have been elected to do. The one thing that the Constitution made provision for you to do. You can carry your backside to the House of Assembly whenever it is meeting. You can read the bills that come before the House of Assembly, study the bills that come before the House of Assembly, read the House of Assembly, study the resolutions that come before the House of Assembly, and you can, on the occasion when they say second reading of bills, an act for as many, or for a resolution when they ask for a motion for a vote on the resolution, you can get up and debate on behalf of your constituents that bill or resolution. You don't need nobody permission to do that. You don't need nobody guidance to do that. You don't need the government help to do that. You don't need no private sector funding to do that. You can do that all on your own. And that's what you are charged to do. And then when there is a time for vote, you can cast your vote. You don't need no government permission to do it. You don't need no government help to do it. You don't need any private sector funding to do it. You don't need anything other than your good sense, physical ability, and ability to stand up, remain seated when the speaker says, as many as in favor remain seated, those to the contrary will rise. You can do that. You say, but if you're part of the government, don't you have to vote out a government vote? Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. But more often than not, as a part of that team, and believing in the cause and the things that the team puts forward, you would. But you don't have to. Nobody can restrain you from doing so. Nobody can restrain you from going to the House. In fact, it is against the law to prevent a member of parliament from going to parliament. If a member of parliament is on their way to the House of Assembly while it is sitting and the police come to try to arrest them, that is not possible. Actually, I suppose if you're committing a real thing of crime, they might argue that. But I'm saying, you can. So the one thing you can do as a member of parliament, whether you're in government or opposition, and don't need nobody else to help you do, is you can do your job, which is to go to the House of Assembly, go to the debate and vote. That's the job. And if a member of parliament and if a citizen say, oh, you're not working for us, tell them that is untrue. I am doing exactly the work that I'm required to do for you in the House of Assembly. Exactly the work. That's the job. You don't need anybody to tell you to go to your constituents and speak to your constituents and say, this bill is before the parliament. This is what the bill seeks to do. These are the objects and reasons for the bill. I'm going to go through it with you. Please tell me what your thoughts are about the bill and get those thoughts. And if you think that those thoughts reflect some change that needs to be had, you go to the government, whether you're in opposition or in the government, and you say to your government or to the government in opposition, you say, listen, I went and met with my constituents and they brought up this very good point about clause 2 of the bill. And I think that we should amend it to reflect the view of these people. You don't need no government to do that. You don't need no private sector financing to do that. You can do that all on your own. That's the job. And if you're doing that and they tell you, oh, you're not being a good member of parliament, well, you don't know what a good member of parliament is. You don't. Because I'm doing my job, the constitutional job that I'm asked to do. Now, then there are people who want, they say, our water ain't working. Our roads ain't working. This public park ain't fixed up. The cemetery is a mess. What you gonna do, member of parliament? Now, let's say you're a government member of parliament. What can you do on your own? Absolutely nothing other than this. You go to the minister responsible for that thing, maybe it's education, maybe it's national security, maybe it's public works, and you sit down with your colleague. Remember, you're a member of the government. And you say, colleague, listen, man, I getting beat up left, right, and center from my constituents about this particular issue? Can you tell me when it can be addressed, if it will be addressed, and how it will be addressed, and so forth and so forth? They give you an answer. You get an answer. They don't give you an answer. You have no answer. But you can't do nothing about it, because if they don't move the arm of government to do something about it, you could be all the government member of parliament you want. You can't do anything about it. It is about the government doing. Now, what do you do then? Well, you could decide to shut your mouth and be a faithful member of the government, or you could say to your constituents, well, I've spoken to my colleague, and at the moment, I don't have an answer for you, but we're working on it. If you're in opposition, what can you do? The same thing that the member of parliament who in the government does, except you are out of the government. You try to get a meeting with the minister. He or she may or may not give you a meeting. Now, if they are professional, if they are statesmen, if they have any good sense in their heads, they will give you a meeting because they recognize you as a colleague and a duly elected member of the House of Assembly. And they ought to give you a meeting, but if they funky and don't believe in that because they're too partisan, they don't give you a meeting. What you can do? You can't do nothing other than go back and tell your constituents, I sought a meeting with the minister. Here's the letter I sent 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. Here is the telephone log about the calls I tried to make, and I have been able to do nothing. I shall keep at it for your sake. And during the course of a debate, if you want, you can speak to it and say, well, see the member of parliament right there, sitting there, who's the minister responsible for? I made several attempts to meet with them. I gave them a letter. I didn't hear back from them yet. And this is where we stand now while my people are suffering. That's all you could do. You can't go pave no road. Mind you, if you're rich enough, you could try to do anything you want to do, right? You can't pave no road. Even sometimes if you try, you know, somebody can say, you can't just go mess with the government property. I know I'm no permission to do that. So Prime Minister Davis is right. When you are in opposition, you are extremely limited in what you can do. Extremely limited. Well, then why we speak cussing these people when they're in opposition, talking about why you ain't do this and why. You, when you are a member of parliament, you have a duty and you have all the power to do your duty, which is in the House of Assembly. All that stuff outside the House of Assembly, that's different stuff. Now, if you come to you and tell you they need $200 for X, Y, and Z, and you decide, okay, you could do that too. If they decide that they having something for their child and the child needs this and you want to support it, that you could do that too. And if your pocket deep enough, you do all the things you want to do. That ain't the job. That's part of your service to your community, not a part of your responsibility. But if you want to do that, that's fine. I just think we need to educate people. Let them know. I got people who literally said to me, Shivag, you mean the government will give you all money to do the things you all do around this place with the community? I said, well, this was before the constituency allowance. I said, no. I said, and as far as the constituency allowance is concerned, it don't go in my pocket, you broke. I don't go on no account of mine. We didn't have it like it happened today. All right. So I think the Prime Minister is right, but what he has done is he has provided a template for every opposition member of parliament to say two things now. Not only to say, I am limited in what I can get done for you on my own, but to also say, listen, if you see me unable to get this thing done for you, to have an agitated the government, just know the government has decided not to do this thing for you. Huh? Because that's precisely what the Prime Minister was saying. You heard what he said? He said, listen, I started something when I was in government. So I was able to start something when I was in government for my constituency. I was the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Public Works. I was able to start something for my constituency. And then when the other people came to office, they stopped it. In other words, you are at the largesse of the government, of a public works nature done in his or her constituency. They can lay down a defeat of the government, because I can't do it. It takes the government to do the only thing the government can say, well, I ain't never hear from you. I ain't never seen you trying to agitate for Sam. The only thing the government can say, and then you can say, well, I guess you never got this letter mailed on this day, et cetera, and acknowledged by your secretary as received in accordance with this particular thing I got, this email I got. So obviously leave a trail now. Any in opposition, leave a trail. Be able to verify. You should do that when you're in government even. All right, let's read some of your text here. Says, very, very disappointed in PM. We voted for you because we believe in the things you said you were you were going to do. Campaign finance is now no longer important to you. Going to do on you, your agenda now, you making 180 turn. And this nonsense that you were unable to accomplish anything in 30 years in Cat Island is just a disgrace. Time for you to retire, Mr. Davis, says this texter. We can talk about campaign finance reform in a little while. Great show. It was Claire who ruled the debate. Kamala certainly won that one. Yes, I agree. There were questions she should have answered as well as some points needed clarification. I would have done that. Trump rattled on and on with utter foolishness. I pray he does not win. No, sorry. This text says, good afternoon, Z. Okay, the phones are down. This is someone saying the phones are down. Producer, I don't know. We'll check on that for you. Try again. This text is, Mr. Lang, I'm glad you are outlining the role and responsibilities of MP. The opposition MPs get beat up about not doing anything in the constituency. I'll explain what the constituency allowance funds are used for. Well, opposition members of parliament don't have as many excuses as they used to have no more. Now, you get $150,000 every year. You can do some things. You can do some park things. You could do some projects, et cetera. But that ain't a buggy load of money. You take $150,000 trying to pave some road, trying to fix some waterworks or something, that could be very difficult. That could be very, but there are limits to what $150,000 can do, but it is supposed to be for doing works in your constituency, works in your constituency. That's what it's supposed to be for. And the Ministry of Finance is supposed to manage it in such a way as you can verify and confirm the use of those funds to whom they were paid. They are public monies. Public monies. That's the way it's supposed to work. Okay. All right. Let me see now if we have any other text before I go on to my next topic. Stop beating these members of parliament for nothing. This text says energy efficiency, education, crime, public transportation, cost of living, quality of life, public trust, equal dispensation of opportunity. Ask the average Bahamian how they feel about whether or not they feel like our governments have and are primarily failing. First of all, my friend, listing off things says nothing to me. I'm an intelligent human being. Energy efficiency means what? Education means what? Crime means what? Those are not statements of anything. I keep telling you all before, right? You are not dealing with an uneducated soul. You are not dealing with an unthinking soul and an unintelligent soul. That's not me. Okay, you can't just list off words to me and think, oh, you get it. No, you got to explain yourself. Secondly, me asking the average Bahamian anything doesn't get to the whether a thing is so or not, because if you take a crime survey, as they call it, where you talk to people about how they feel about crime, but when you actually ask people if they've been the victims of crime, it is very often the case that how people feel about how bad crime is for them is not matched by their victimization by crime. So I'm not going to go by how people feel, because you could wake up one morning and haven't eaten badly the night before and feel any kind of way. People feel certain ways because their decisions in life have brought them into some very difficult circumstances. So I'm not going to go by that. You make the case that the place is failing, you need to make that case and use evidence to support it. You can't be telling me, but no, go ask the average Bahamian. Go ask the average Bahamian what they think about your life. And tell me what that means to whether that's true or not. All right? This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. VPRS was in charge of the border, and she failed at that. She was in charge of the border. She was in charge of the border. So let me ask you a question. How does government work? Tell me, how was she in charge of the border? What is it that you expected her to do at the border? And so forth and so forth. You live in the Bahamas. What you know about what's going on at the border? How many people came past the border? How many people were stopped from coming across the border? How do you know? But y'all could make me laugh now. But you keep supporting Trump, man. I'm not hating on you. Carry on. I have some family members that do as well. ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Grand Bahama News is available and you can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717. Or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Bahamas, are you ready? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group, along with Alpha Sounds, present the best of the best, Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded. This is the biggest one-day all-Bahamian concert of the year. Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby, Mama D, Fanshawe, Shine 242, The Falcons, and more. Mark your calendars. It's going down November the 2nd at Super Club Breezes Ground. Tickets now available at BahamasEtickets.com or both Beauty Shack location. General admission $60. VIP Skybox and Skypods also available. For more info, call 394-0819 or email keepthevibealive242@gmail.com. Experience the magic once again with more legends for one night only. Come party with us November 2nd at Best of the Best. Break in, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. All right. Yeah, it seems that the lines are down. So if you've been trying to call, then that'll explain why you might not be able to. Sorry about that. It's Texas, Mrs. Z. How can the PM say that the public is not interested in campaign finance reform? Did he take a poll on this one call, or ask me or family on a survey? I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know. The Prime Minister on campaign finance reform says it's not his priority. He said that he would not release their list of donors unless those donors. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting because remember when Michael Pintard was asked about whether he got funding from the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and the Prime Minister was asked about the same thing, I want to read for you what the Prime Minister said. He said, "My thoughts are, if they gave it to him," meaning they were a donor, "but what was very curious for me is that once it came out," so it came out. So the Prime Minister, by saying what he said, admits they have donors to their campaign. So he has donors. And so it's come out, right? He's got donors. He said whether he would deny it or confirm it. So that's a matter of being transparent. So it will be good to know whether he did or not. End quote. Can I read it for you again? Forget campaign finance reform. You don't need campaign finance reform in the public of the Bahamas. You don't need the Prime Minister to release his list of donors. What minister's requirement for transparency? What is the requirement? This is the Prime Minister. This is the Prime Minister telling you what the requirements are for transparency. My thoughts are, if they gave it to him, okay? So if somebody gave it to you. But what was curious for me is that once it came out, whether he would deny or confirm it. So you can go to the Prime Minister or any member of parliament or politician and ask, did this person give you money? Did the port give you money? Did Bahama give you money? Did Atlantis give you money? Did this person give you money? Did that person give you money? Okay, because all you have to say is, I heard that they gave you money. Because he says, if it comes out, how did it come out? How did it come out that somebody suggests Michael Pintard got money from the port? How did it come out? Somebody put it on a meme on social media. So that's how all you have to do. Put a meme up and say, I hear that this person, that person, this organization gave to the FNM, to the PLP. Once that is done, so it's come out, according to the Prime Minister, you then ask whether or not you received any monies from. And then, according to the Prime Minister, that's a matter of being transparent. So it will be good to know whether he did or not. So if you believe that monies was gotten from this organization, you go and ask the question. According to the Prime Minister, it is good to know whether you got it or not. But that's what trade finance reform is all about. Who you should be able to receive from, who you should not be able to receive from, how much you should be able to receive from any grouping, how much you should not be able to receive from any grouping, and some disclosure about who gave. That's the whole point. Because it's good to know. So we don't need campaign finance reform if we use the prime minister's criteria for finding out who gave money or confirming who gave money to who. We don't, if I go by just what the prime minister said. You don't need no campaign finance reform if it's a matter of wanting to know who gave who what. Now, we do need it if we want to know, if we want to shape who can give to whom. We need it if we want to do that. We need it if we want to know, if we want to limit who can give what to whom. So if we want to go that direction, we can do that. But insofar as knowing, did Shivago Lang give money to the PLP, to the FNM, to the COI? Well, go put a meme out there and ask, did Shivago Lang give money to PLP, to FNM, for the campaign? And then come ask me. And according to the prime minister, it's a question of, no, but you don't ask me because I'm the giver. You got to ask them now. Did Shivago Lang give you money for your campaign? And they're going to have to answer if they won't be transparent, which is good to be, according to the prime minister. Y'all follow me? Is what I said rational? I was reading direct quotes from the prime minister as reported in The Guardian, written by Candia Dames on August 28th, 2024, this year of our Lord. Right? Criteria. If it gets out. Criteria. If you're asked. And once you asked, it's a matter of transparency, which is good for us, for you to say whether you did or not. But for that aspect of campaign finance disclosure, you don't need anything else. Nothing else. Says as usual, says well, it won't happen when it comes. It won't happen. When I become PM, I will tell y'all Brave ain't do it, Menace ain't do it. So don't even ask me to do it when it comes to campaign form. This text says, Mr. Lang, it has come out that Sam Bankman-Fried gave $6 million to the PLP. Will Mr. Davis confirm it? There you go. Somebody's asking the question, did Sam Bankman-Fried give $6 million to the PLP or not? This is a text to say, right? And, you know, I might say quite a respectful text. It's a question, right? That's how it happened. That's how it can begin. Now, those of you who are in the press who asked Michael Pintard whether the Grand Bahama Port Authority gave him monies. I think somebody was quoting $250,000 or something. I have a text, credible personality in the Bahamas. I ain't telling nobody because they didn't tell me to disclose their name. That's like the prime minister say. They didn't know. But they saying that it has been said. Well, somebody going to ask the prime minister that question? Because the criteria is, once it comes out and you're asked, it's good to. Now, it's obviously possible for PM to say, no, they never gave me gave the PLP $6 million. And that could very well be true. It could have been $1.5 million. It could have been $100,000. It could have been $10 million. If he says they didn't give me $5, $6 million, he answered the question and I answered it correctly. So if it would be after you to be more specific, and then for the PM to determine whether or not he would answer the question. Let me tell y'all something. Can I say this to y'all? Politicians in the Bahamas and the donors to politicians in the Bahamas, not because they are wicked or malicious or anything, are not interested in disclosing for public view the monies they give to political parties or that are given to themselves, to the parties have given to them. We're not interested in that. In a small society like ours, it brings up all kinds of things, et cetera. I'm saying that, but they're not interested in it. Now, you as a public, if you are interested in having campaign finance reform, you have every right to advocate for it. I'm just telling you, politicians in the Commonwealth of Bahamas have no such interest. None. No such interest. None. So the Prime Minister is not being dishonest at all when he tells you it's not a priority. He's been very honest. Because he knows, as a general rule, he won't even be challenged by the broad spectrum of opposition personalities in this country. And if he were in opposition, he'd be the same way. And you see that the constituency funds are deposited to the accounts of members of parliament. We don't know if they're dedicated accounts or not. And there's no challenge from either side of that. But campaign finance reform is the same thing. There's no real burden there to do that. Just like there's no real burden to push for, what the thing named now? It's freedom of information. The operationalization of the scene. The law has been passed. The office has been set up. We waiting for digital infrastructure to be put in place. For years now. Listen to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is the hit spot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the hit spot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chickchawny Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chickchawny Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chickchawnychurn.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Then you know that you're not alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies. Bago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Political parties in the Bahamas, political campaigns in the Bahamas, are heavily financed by foreign donors and Bahamian businesses, business people. These people are not evil, they're not wicked, they're not malicious, they're not trying to corrupt anything as a general rule. This is the nature of where you can source the millions of dollars expended in financing campaigns. And don't get cute. You take the t-shirts. The t-shirts cost over $1 million to get. You take the caps. The caps cost money to get. You get the pom-poms. They cost money. You go to the conventions. They cost money. You watch the conventions. They cost money. You go to the rallies. The rallies cost money. You got to pay for the setup. You got to pay the sound people, and so forth and so forth. You go and you go to the motorcades, and that too costs money. You go to the red splash or the yellow splash, and that costs money. The prime minister and the teams are flying up and down all over these islands, and they got to set up in each of these islands, and it costs money to do all that. They're not dipping into their pockets because they don't have the money to do that kind of thing. And so they go and find people who are willing to support the cause. Some people support all the causes. You have an M, I can give you a couple of dollars. You the PIP, I can give you a couple of dollars. Oh, but I like you more, I can give you a couple more dollars. I can give you a couple of dollars. And this is the nature of the financial circumstances with respect to the campaigns in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And these people give that money and they don't really want nobody to know they from this country in the world and that country in the world. They happen to be a resident of the Bahamas. They happen to be a business person in the Bahamas. They don't want nobody to know they're doing this because they know how you go in small countries. You're going to eat to the people in place and you find out, oh, they're scared of child, they're scared of the FNM, they're scared of the PLP. I ain't supporting them. That's the people's business. So why would they want to tell you that so that you could start discriminating against them? They don't want to do that. I'm not telling you, in your small country politics, small country culture. Right? So there are decisions to be made if we go the route of campaign finance reform. And quite frankly, if we go that route, we should think about it in the context of our own country as opposed to in the context of how other people do theirs. And I could assure you, other people have campaign finance reform and they have found a million ways to get around them. What you think all of these super PAC money and stuff is? All that super PAC money and billions of dollars in the United States of America being spent. And these billionaires getting monies to channel money this way and the next way. And that's why you will find that this one ain't gonna say nothing but that particular billionaire. This one ain't. Same campaign finance reform. Same. See, when an honest with campaign finance reform or not. A dishonest person will be dishonest with campaign finance reform or not. What the law does, if you have the law, is it provides standards. It allows everybody to know where the marker has been crossed, and you have placed that marker as a cross because you say when these kinds of things are done, they undermine good governance. They undermine the democracy. They undermine the integrity of the governing system in the country. And that makes sense. Do things that don't undermine the integrity of the governing system. So let's suppose you are a political party and you field a full slate of candidates. And the government says, listen, we are going to give you $3 million. Whatever party you are, you get $3 million, you go fight the campaign. You can't take no money from nobody else. This is what you got to go there and campaign. That's it. And if I find out you get, go and get money from somebody else, I'm going to disqualify you. Would you like that? That's what you do to government ministers. You tell government ministers, you cannot make money any other way. You can't collect no income from any other source other than your government pay, your member parliament or senator salary. That's what you say. So tell the political party, here, this is your $3 million. That's your budget. $3 million. You're a COI, you're a genuine or legitimate party, and you're fielding the full slate of candidates. $3 million. Go fight it out. Go talk it out. Now nobody have no advantage because this person get $10 million from that grouping and one these people get $2 million from that grouping. Everybody got $3 billion and that's all you got. So we monitoring your money. Monitoring what you spend. How you think they know Donald Trump raised X millions of dollars and Kamala Harris raised because they have reporting requirements. You have to tell. You have to say. And you have to say from whom. Would you like that? That's how you want to live? In the Bahamas? That's the reform you want? So she is a prosecutor. Treated him like the criminal he is. Yeah, I better stop, boy. Some Trump got some loyal followers in Bahamas. Anyway, it's not a priority, so not to worry. And I haven't heard whether it's a priority for the opposition, so one does not know whether it might be something taken up in a subsequent term. But my general view is that it's not something that. That the political parties are moved to rush into. But we'll see. We'll see. So I don't know what's going on with Junkanoo, with the Valley Boys and them. I understand there's a split. The minister says he's made a determination to give both sides funding. And he believes that they might both be capable of A-class work presentation. And so, but it's not his decision to make. That's the JCN's decision. JNCA. Anyway. We'll see how it all plays out. This text says there is a law that government employees cannot own a business under their name legally, right? Not insinuating anything, just for my understanding. Law that says government employees? No, there's no such law that says that at all. But if a government person is going into a business, I think they have to get the consent of the permanent secretary. So, but it doesn't say that they cannot. There's no law that says that. And why would it matter if you're insinuating anything? Insinuating it against whom? Who's a government employee? You know who's a government employee? Got to know that first too. And so, you know, there are different employee people who work for the government. You have people who are on the permanent and pensionable establishment. You have contract workers. You have temporary workers. And so, or weekly workers, as they might call them. So you have to know which one you're dealing with because the rules don't necessarily apply equally to all of them, right? But what's the problem? Unless somebody is doing some business that conflicts with their responsibilities, generally speaking, if they put that to the permanent secretary and the like, they're able to do that. And there are lots of there are lots of civil servants who have businesses. right? So it is very difficult in a country where people find living on their own situation challenging, that they might not find entrepreneurial outlets. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. Do you know if the taxi union is on strike? Just about all the taxis are parked out by the union hall. Sorry for who need a taxi at this moment. This is in Nassau or Freeport? Texas, Mr. Lang, Kamala Harris may be a prosecutor, but research who Willie Brown is and his relationship with her and how she made her way up to the top. Let me tell you something, man. Do not bring us these stupid, let me say it again, stupid Trump campaign narratives, because this ain't nothing to research. This is nonsense crap. Nonsense, nonsense, right? Kamala Harris had a relationship with Willie Brown. Willie Brown was still married but separated from his wife for years at the time. If you know that she slept her way up to the top, you must have been sleeping on the side of her or with her at the same time with Willie Brown. That's the only way you could know. So what does that make you? If you know that, if you know it, you had to have been sleeping with her and Willie Brown at that time. And if she is something, what does that make you? All right, let's stop talking nonsense, man. Stupidness. Be intelligent. Intelligent. And stop trying to bring down these wonderful women, men, human beings who are trying to accomplish something in the world. All right? Stop being silly and indecent and foolish. Especially picking up the language of somebody whose character could be judged every day, not because of what people say, but because what he said, what he did, and was convicted of doing. Seriously? You shame me, man. Shame me that that's the best you could do. The best you could do. That's the best of you right there. And it is no wonder you support Donald Trump. You have just revealed to us why. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll be back again tomorrow. Take care. Take a stand. Everybody.